The following is a production of Alabama Public Radio News.
At that time, we have been singing a song, "We Shall Overcome," and before I be a slave, I'll be dead and buried in my grave.
Benny Lee Tucker is 74 years old. He spent the last 55 of those years here in Selma.
And we're going to let nobody turn us around. No more Governor Wallace. And no more white folk.
On the front porch of his home on Eugene Avenue, Tucker recalls March 7th, 1965. It was the height of the voting rights movement. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't the name on everyone's mind that day.
They were saying, well, let us, John Lewis and all of us were saying, let us, and James Owens said, let us go to Montgomery. Said, what we'll do, we'll take the body of Jimmie Lee Jackson and put it on the state capitol and let Governor Wallace know what he had done and his people.
Civil rights activist Jimmie Lee Jackson died 9 days before after being shot by an Alabama state trooper.
And so it was decided that the casket was too heavy to carry 50 miles. And so, well, we just walked. And we started out walking, and we were met with the tear gas.
State troopers met Tucker and the other voting rights marchers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge that connected Selma to the state capital of Montgomery. The lawmen used tear gas and clubs to beat back the crowd. The day became known as Bloody Sunday.
Selma sprang overnight from an obscure southern town to the front pages of world newspapers. This church was headquarters in the Negro drive for the right to vote. And it was here that Martin Luther King came to lend his support to the campaign.
Today I want to tell the city of Selma. Tell them, Doctor. Today I want to say to the state of Alabama.
Yes, sir.
Today I want to say to the people of America and the nations of the world that we are not about to turn around.
Yes, sir. 50 years later, the day we sat down with Benny Lee Tucker on his porch, an estimated crowd of 70,000 people was gathering 10 blocks away on Water Avenue and Broad Street in Selma to remember Bloody Sunday.
Damn right! Damn right!
Good morning. This is Bernice A. King, daughter of Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King, and I'm going to leave you with my mother's words, which is, struggle is a never-ending process. Freedom is never really won. You earn it and win it in every generation. And I say to you, we have been called into this freedom struggle, and we have a responsibility to do what is necessary to make sure that everyone has the right to vote, that it is protected, and also that everyone is able to prosper in the American economy. And so we have tremendous work to do in this generation in terms of ensuring democracy and equality for all people.
Let us clear the bridge. Let us make a clear path for the march.
This is Reverend Jesse Jackson.
The victory at Selma was the protected right to vote, which had been denied since 1870. But today, with Section 4 has gutted the Voting Rights Act's oversight. And because of that, they are now stacking and packing districts and marginalizing the black vote. Even though they're elected, they're being marginalized. There's nothing much to celebrate. I mean, really, we're on the attack. We should be protesting, not just celebrating. The Voting Rights Act has been gutted.
Folks dying out here. Y'all talking about a bridge. Y'all need to be raising hell by these folks' lives like y'all raising hell by this bridge. Let's show you where your priorities at. Let's show you where your priorities at right there. You more concerned about this bridge and these folks walking on the bridge than you are about real life. People are dying.
Hello, this is Governor Robert Bentley. I was at the University of Alabama when George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door to keep black students from entering. So I've been a part of this for a long time, and so I have seen it progress. And it's somewhat ironic that 50 years later that young student at that time is now the governor of Alabama. Because we are a different state, and I'm proud to say that we're a different state than we were then.
T-shirt for sale. All proceeds go to the
Future Youth Center.
Woe unto those who pass unjust laws and rob the poor of their rights and make women.
If someone had told me when we were crossing this bridge that one day I will be back here introducing the first African-American president, I would have said, you're crazy, you're out of your mind, you don't know what you're talking about. President Barack Obama,
so much of our turbulent history, the stain of slavery and anguish of civil war, the yoke of segregation and tyranny of Jim Crow, the death of four little girls in Birmingham, and the dream of a Baptist preacher, all that history met on this bridge.
This is what we call history. 50 years since Dr. King, you know, crossed this bridge and Bloody Sunday and all that our people went through. As for me, I can't say I did. I was only like 1 year old then. But, but my, you know, my grandparents, they did. This is all the part. And I'm walking in honor of them.
My name is Terry Sewell, and I would wish everyone today to realize the message of Selma, which is a message about social change. It means all Americans, everyday Americans, can do extraordinary things.
I can't remember the exact day, but I can tell you I was 5 years old, and my mom was telling me about segregation and the bridge as we were crossing the bridge. We had just left Lowndes County. My mom grew up in Lowndes County, and we were visiting my grandparents.
Terry Sewell grew up in Selma. She's also the first black woman ever elected to Congress in Alabama.
And so from a very young age, I was very cognizant of the importance of the bridge. But at some point, it just becomes the conduit to get home.
A few days after the Bloody Sunday remembrance, Sewell was asked to be the keynote speaker at the Alabama Women's Hall of Fame in the town of Marion near Selma. One of the inductees wrote Alabama State's song, which you're hearing now. Today's event was for Alabama storyteller, the late Catherine Tucker Windham. A plaque for Coretta Scott King hangs in the Hall of Fame, along with one for Rosa Parks. Outside is another marker. It's on the spot where Jimmie Lee Jackson was gunned down, so Selma was high on everyone's mind.
My daddy, Selma, didn't have many African-American voters. My daddy, Selma, he learned to play golf as a caddy at midnight at the Selma Country Club. My Selma, I was nurtured and loved and told that I could be anything I wanted to be. Not just by my education.
For Sewell, the Selma she grew up in prepared her for law school and Congress. Women's soccer star Mia Hamm and Michael Johnson of the NFL are from Selma. Sewell says she sees the town differently compared to other people.
I don't think that we who are the caretakers of the voting rights movement view the Edmund Pettus Bridge with such awe and excitement as others. Once a year, people come and commemorate that bridge and the significance of that bridge. And, you know, I believe that the commemorations are great, but the best tribute that we can give to those foot soldiers that sacrificed so much on that bridge is to remember to vote as Americans in every election we possibly can.
The Selma that welcomed thousands of visitors and reporters from around the world appeared run down. Many homes and buildings were abandoned and windows left broken. Local residents worried aloud that the bright light of media coverage would paint their town as a community in shambles. One couple from Atlanta doesn't see Selma and its history as a bad thing. In fact, their optimism is prompting plans for a different kind of march, and that's raising eyebrows locally. APR Stan Ingold explains.
It'll be detrimental to your safety to continue this march, and I'm saying that this is an unlawful assembly.
This is how the world remembers March 7, 1965 in the town of Selma. Voting rights marchers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge met by state police troopers and a sheriff's posse armed with clubs and tear gas. News footage of the attack poured out of black and white television sets and into living rooms nationwide. The event became known as Bloody Sunday.
It may have, you know, started out as something so negative, but it depends on how you look at it.
I met Sonja Houston at the St. James Hotel right next to the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma.
Because the strength of the people made it more so a beautiful thing.
She grew up here and wants to associate some positive memories with the iconic bridge and its place in civil rights history.
A year and a half or 2 years ago, I thought it would be so beautiful if I can have my wedding ceremony someday. I wasn't engaged yet, but have my ceremony out here It's just beautiful.
If Houston gets her way, her wedding photos will include the Edmund Pettus Bridge as the backdrop.
Because it has so much character, history. It's the main focal point of Selma when you think of Selma or any outsiders think of Selma.
But I did hear on the radio that this amphitheater is supposed to be done in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
like any bride-to-be, Houston has enlisted help in getting everything organized for the big day.
When Sandra called me and said that she wanted to get married down there, I was so excited because we love a good challenge.
Rebecca Nichols is the couple's wedding planner. She and her husband help plan and organize weddings all over the state. But she says using the Edmund Pettus Bridge is a first.
And it's different, and nobody's ever done it before. So it's exciting. You know, it's exciting for Selma because if we can get some kind of policy in place for this, Selma could really become a destination wedding place.
Thank you for calling St. James Hotel. This is Jenny.
We make our way from the St. James Hotel around the block to the city walk where Houston hopes her wedding can be held.
But this is where she's talking about having the ceremony. So if you come, you know, about right here, I mean, you can see the bridge that way. So actually, they would be getting married here, so the congregation would be facing this way.
The city walk runs alongside the Alabama River and provides a clear view of the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
And see, up there is where I was saying that's the back of St. James Hotel. Okay. And so that's where I was saying when I first really got a really good view of the bridge, and I knew this is it.
Couples who get married in Selma typically flock to neighborhood parks or stately plantation homes for the big day. Nichols says Houston's goal of using the Edmund Pettus Bridge carries more complications than where to put the flowers in the van.
The city's concern is they have no way for us to actually reserve it because you can't block it off or keep people from coming down here. And I think their concern is because it is a public area and there's a walking trail right by the river that they'll be public, you know, coming in and out, which I don't think that we're that much opposed to it. They'd get to see a beautiful ceremony.
And Houston's big day isn't the only thing on the minds of city leaders in Selma. The town is going into high gear for the 50th anniversary jubilee of Bloody Sunday. This is where we find James Benderson. He's the director of city planning and development. His office also handles special events for the city.
It's kind of simple. Just fill out the paperwork and we look at it and make sure that we can accommodate you and make sure that we want to know when, where, how many people, if you need police presence, if you needed chairs, tables, and those type things. And depending on the amount of staffing it takes, determining it, what the fee and cost is.
He says he isn't shocked somebody wants to be married there. He says what does surprise him, though, is the lack of people asking.
Believe it or not, a lot of people who live here in Selma, a lot of times they don't even recognize of the amenities that they have in their backyard. They don't even know that, oh man, that's a beautiful place. I can have a wedding or a family reunion or something like that.
Houston says while the Edmund Pettus Bridge conjures images of brutality and struggle, it also represents the beginning of something good and what she believes ultimately is beautiful.
The people who made it such a beautiful thing are people that I'm related to. They're people that they're the people I come from, or they're the people that we have attachments to and bonds to. And why, you know, why I was able to grow up in Selma and go to integrated schools and walk the whole city, it seems like, with no problem.
And Sonja hopes to add to this beauty by beginning her married life in the shadow of one of the most infamous sites of the civil rights movement.
We were beaten, tear gassed. Some of us was left bloody right here on this bridge. 17 of us were hospitalized that day. But we never became bitter or hostile. We kept believing that the truth we stood for would have the final say.
Congressman John Lewis of Georgia was among the foot soldiers on Bloody Sunday.
This city, on the banks of the Alabama River, gave birth to a movement that changed this nation forever. Our country will never, ever be the same because of what happened on this bridge.
Presidents Lyndon Johnson and Barack Obama both compared Selma to sites of historic change like Appomattox during the U.S. Civil War. Historians say that's appropriate since they contend 1865 and not 1965 represented Selma's first march to freedom.
We must make a massive demonstration of our
This is how the events leading up to Bloody Sunday are depicted in the Oscar-winning film Selma. Once the crowds commemorating the voting rights marches in Alabama go home, another event is planned. Next month is the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Selma during the Civil War. This is the 2013 reenactment of the campaign. Civil War buffs in full costume fire blanks at each other to recreate the fight between Union General James Wilson and Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest in 1865. It's where events in 1965 and 1865 intersect that has the attention of historians.
Well, the first thing is I got goosebumps all over my body.
Linda Derry met us at the Cahaba Archaeological Site, not far from where the Battle of Selma took place. She's the director. The reason for her excitement takes a little explaining.
Watch so you don't fall over any roots, but see this big basement hole here? That was the very...
Derry and I tramped through the forest to an archaeological dig where the Alabama and Cahaba Rivers meet. She says after Union General Wilson beat Confederate General Forrest, they met at the house that once stood here.
And what do? They get together and they have dinner. And after dinner, they went into the parlor, and I imagine they had cigars and cordials. I don't know, but I bet you that's what they did. And they had a nice sit-down conversation and sized each other up.
It's an entry in General Wilson's memoirs about what happened next that Derry says gave her goosebumps.
But a great number of fugitives from the surrounding country flocked into the town, and our march to the eastward had hardly begun when it became apparent that new crowds were following us.
And by fugitives, historians say Wilson meant freed black slaves.
The rear guard could keep them behind, but could not prevent them from taking the road to freedom.
Linda Derry.
And then looking at where they were marching from Selma to Benton to Lounsboro to Montgomery. And those are exactly the same route that the Civil Rights March took.
Thousands of slaves did, in fact, fall in with Wilson and were led out of slavery.
Edward Longacre is a retired historian with the U.S. Department of Defense. He's written over 20 books on the Civil War. His first was a biography of General James Wilson.
Anytime Union armies invaded the South and were in such numbers as to offer protection and security, hundreds, if not thousands, of slaves fled local plantations and joined the armies in the hope of being led out of bondage.
And then there are the battles where things didn't turn out so well. One year before the Battle of Selma, General Wilson's cavalry fought in the Battle of Staunton River Bridge in Virginia. Longacre says slaves flocked to Wilson's troops for help, but that time the Union side was losing.
Wilson's men had basically to flee, every man on his own, and they left behind hundreds of slaves who had fallen in with the columns, and they were quickly captured and returned to their masters by the Confederates after the Union troops left.
Despite the local popularity of the Battle of Selma, Wilson's trek to Montgomery along the same route as the 1965 voting rights marchers might have been lost to history. It was mentioned in a couple of paragraphs in his memoirs written in 1912. Longacre has a simple answer on why Wilson was almost forgotten along with the Battle of Selma.
It lacked strategic importance. It didn't really contribute anything to the Union causes because the South was already on the ropes and its armies were surrendering. And for that reason, his major accomplishment of the war got overlooked.
Despite that fact, Civil War reenactors will gather in Selma next month to remember the Battle of Selma on its 150th anniversary, 100 years before Bloody Sunday, on the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
We gather here to honor the courage of ordinary Americans willing to endure billy clubs and the chastening rod, tear gas and the trampling hoof, men and women who, despite the gush of blood and splintered bone, would stay true to their North Star and keep marching towards justice. They did as Scripture instructed. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
Bloody Sunday and the Selma voting rights marches may be fresh in the memories of our parents and grandparents, but what about young people born after this time in the U.S. Civil Rights Movement? In the days leading up to the remembrance of events on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, journalism students at the University of Alabama got the chance to experience the story themselves. This includes Alabama Public Radio newsroom intern Sarah Sherrill.
Further down, there's going to be a firestone right near a traffic light.
Way?
We're going straight
okay.
down Broad.
Asking directions in a strange town is never easy.
You'll know it because there'll probably be an old man with a truck, and he's going to be selling vegetables out the back of the truck. I'm dead serious.
My classmate Katie Shepherd and I aren't looking for a restaurant or a hotel. We're in search of history. We're in Selma, and we're trying to find places like Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Frederick D. Reese has been pastor since 1965. He invited Dr. King to Selma to lead the voting rights protest. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Our trip began weeks ago during class at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa.
One of the favorite parts of my job is to actually get out of the office and do things like this.
That's Justin Averett. He's one of the editors of the Selma Times-Journal. He came to class with a question.
And just by show of hands, how many of you did not? How many of you from grew up outside Alabama?
Almost every hand went up, but not mine. I'm from Decatur, but the only stories I ever heard about the days of the civil rights movement came from my grandmother's caregiver. She's black and in her 80s, so she was an adult when Bloody Sunday took place.
My grandmother mentioned that she was actually in Selma.
That's my classmate, Katie.
But I don't think they participated. I mean, being white people. But I know that my granddad was there for the Stand in the Schoolhouse Door, and I know that they were in Selma.
But then we decided in January that we were going to do a commemorative edition.
Justin Averett came to our class to get help covering the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. Katie and I signed on to do interviews and write copy.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Look for the...
We're here. We're students at UA, and we're working with the Selma Times-Journal.
Class of 92.
Class of 92.
That's how we came to be asking directions from strangers in Selma.
Today, I will be interviewing Dr. F.D. Reese, which stands for Frederick Douglass Reese.
During the drive to Ebenezer Baptist Church, we did pass the man selling veggies out of his truck.
I have some pictures here.
I would love them if you're sharing.
Reese met us at the door. He wore a gray suit, and his deeply wrinkled face looked tired. It was a sharp contrast to the black and white photos of him in the 1960s alongside Dr. King. He was jailed during the Voting Rights March.
And how many days did you stay in the jail total?
I forgot the number of days I stayed in there. But suddenly we were in there several days during that week while in jail. There were those of us who couldn't sing as well as others. Mm-hmm. But those who could sing, we would sing in jail, pray in jail, and then hoping that something would happen that would allow us to relinquish our time there.
I heard stories about while y'all were in the Selma City Jail that you refused to eat bologna sandwiches and collard greens. Is that a true story?
That's true.
Now, why is that? Can you tell me more about that?
They were trying to indicate that because we were in jail, that our main food, collard greens and cornbread and so forth, and we were determined that we were not going to particularly eat the food that they had prepared. And then look forward to the time when we would get out of that jail and we eat some good old home-cooked food. So that was our intention at that time.
It was, I mean, who gets to do that? Who gets to talk to the person who invited Dr. King to Selma? It's humbling, and it's definitely, I'll never forget it in a million years. That's one of those things I'm going to tell my kids.
So y'all are going to be writing about some of the, what, historical
yeah,
stuff
like,
going on?
My story came next, and the woman we're talking to grew up among iconic images of the civil rights movement. Her name is Tracy Martin. Her father was Spider Martin. He was a news photographer who spent 5 weeks covering Selma and Bloody Sunday.
I just would see this stuff in my dad's studio for years and, you know, knew what I knew, but, and then, you know, there was all this new interest in it.
Martin says the opening of the Civil Rights Museum in Montgomery in the 1990s put the spotlight on her father's work. His photos include images of King giving speeches and the attack on civil rights marchers. Tracy says it was a far cry from the reception her dad's pictures got in 1965.
It didn't get talked about a whole lot because nobody in Birmingham wanted to remember that. You know, they didn't want it in the newspaper anymore. They would sabotage his film so it wouldn't even get, you know,
really?
Wouldn't have the opportunity to even get it in the newspaper.
Spider Martin's photos are now part of a photographic archive in Texas. With the day drawing to a close, we made one last stop before heading back to Tuscaloosa. We went to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. It forms what looks like a gray steel cage over the Alabama River. It seems strange that drivers go to and from work every day over such an iconic landmark. We walk the length of the bridge just as the Voting Rights Marchers tried to do in 1965. An official march is planned to remember the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday.
It's amazing. It's a big turnout. It's like a lot of confusion.
Tony Bennett, no relation to the singer, came all the way from Atlanta for the 50th anniversary remembrance on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. He wasn't alone.
You know, I wasn't expecting this huge of a number of people coming out. And it's really difficult getting in, and it's even more difficult getting out right now.
An estimated 70,000 people stood elbow to elbow, crowding three blocks around the bridge.
This is what democracy looks like.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Program, get your program. Get your program, got a free CD of Dr. King's speeches inside.
And you see, the Tea Party wants you to accept less than what your foreparents were. That's why we must show the world discipline today. Because Black Lives Matter.
Dr. King fought for our freedom. He fought for us to vote. And this is the best we can show him today. 50 years later, we being disobedient. We want to bridge the clear.
We have a bigger debt to pay. We were able to get these jobs. We were able to get these positions because people died for those rights.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Fight forward.
Fight forward.
Get the back.
Don't go back.
And Lord,
bless us.
We have come a long, long way, but we still have a long way to go and many more bridges to cross.
Back on the porch of Benny Lee Tucker's home in Selma, he recalled the second march days later. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. led that protest, and Tucker had a specific job that day.
Reverend Tucker, we want you to stand up and guard him. And if you see somebody finna shoot him, say just, you throw your body over me and you take the bullet. And so I say, I'll do it.
It is a Sunday to be remembered, not only by Selma, but by the rest of Alabama and by the rest of America. Under the leadership of Dr. Martin Luther King and under the presidentially ordered protection of the National Guard and soldiers of the United States Army, the long-awaited, long-delayed Freedom March to Montgomery begins.
The Voting Rights Act was signed in August of that year. Tucker says it's up to the next generation now to take it from there.
If they don't register to vote, they will be right back where they started, in slavery again. But now they got to make up their mind, there's no turning back. And they got to stop the killing, pull their pants up, start going to church, and realize they're brothers and sisters.
UN Undersecretary Dr. Ralph Bunche is but one of many persons in public life who joined the march. The bridge where before the marchers had been turned back is crossed without incident.
And Tucker's wondering what 50 years from now will be like. I'm Pat Duggins. For Stan Ingold, Sarah Sherrill, and all of us at Alabama Public Radio, thanks for tuning in, and good night.
The five-day trek will end at the Executive Mansion, where one of the most impressively delivered petitions in history, a petition for rights for Negroes, will have been brought to the governor.
If you'd like to hear more of Alabama Public Radio's international award-winning coverage of the civil rights movement, just go to APR.org.